Today on the Daily Gator Daily Thought, going to take a look at a piece for the New York Times written by someone bemoaning the hardships of raising a minority child, a black child, in a red state. Oh, the angst. Can you feel it? The pain, the suffering, the agony, the imagined victimhood. We're going to see how accurate this is. We're going to get up my truth meter. Stick with me, folks. And yes, it's me again, Doug Hagan, of the Daily Gator blog, which just passed the 9 million hits marks. Probably would have been over 10 million already, but I've just had a lot more on my plate of late, past couple years. Past few months, after suffering a severe case of employer disloyalty syndrome. I had to look for a job, obviously, and had to feel the pain of being kicked to the curb after 15 years. And never missed a day, by the way. But that's another subject. Now, traffic to the blog is back up because I've been able to have more time working again past couple months now, I guess it is, but still trying to devote more time, trying to devote time to family things and all types of things going on. But anyway, I wanted to explore a piece in the New York Times I found, and it is by an adjunct professor at the University of Pennsylvania. That's right, PennU. Shanita Hubbard wrote this on July the 21st, which is the anniversary of the First Battle of Manassas, by the way. You can tell when somebody discusses a war between the states. Well, I just gave you a hint. If you're a northerner or a southerner, typically, particularly if you had ancestors who fought for the Confederacy, as I had many, you can tell a difference right off the bat with people because they'll say war between the states rather than the Civil War. The Civil War, of course, is two factions fighting for control of the same government. That's not what happened in the 1860s here. Southern states seceded for varying reasons, and then they formed their own nation, wrote their own constitution, elected their own president, own house, own senate. A president picked his cabinet, raised an army, raised a navy, and fought for their independence. So it wasn't a civil war. Some people say the War of Northern Aggression. I have used that on occasion. Some people call it Mr. Lincoln's War. Many different names. Second War for American Independence, Second Revolutionary War. There's all types of names for this conflict. But that's one way you can tell. Southerners typically will say war between the states. And also another way you can, kind of interesting, battles and armies, when the two sides named their armies, you had, the most famous would be the Army of the Potomac. That was the army commanded by, initially, George B. McClellan, and later men like Burnside and Hooker and Meade, and ultimately by Grant, even though Meade was still the commander of the army. Grant was the commander of all Union armies, and he went to campaign against Lee with Meade. The North named their armies for waterways: Army of the Tennessee. You had Army of Tennessee and the Army of the Tennessee fighting at times. Army of Tennessee was the Confederate Army. The Union had the fixation with waterways: Army of the Cumberland, Army of the Tennessee, Army of the Potomac, etc. The South was more Army of Northern Virginia, which was Lee's army. Army of Tennessee, as I referenced already. So you had them naming after places, such as the Battle of First Manassas, also known as the Battle of First Bull Run. Bull Run was a waterway, a small creek in Northern Virginia there, and that's what the Union called it. Still call it the Army of, the Battle of First Manassas, First Bull Run. The South calls it Manassas because that's the nearest town to the battle was Manassas, Virginia, so they call it First and then Second Manassas, both won by the Confederates, by the way. And you have other examples. Shiloh or Pittsburgh Landing, same battle. The Battle of Sharpsburg. Most people don't know this one. The Battle of Sharpsburg was also known as the Battle of Antietam. Antietam is a water name. Sharpsburg was the nearest town in Maryland to that battlefield. And it goes on and on. Different battles. Just a fascinating little tidbit of history there. And now back to Shanita Hubbard and her piece on... is entitled The... You may need tissues, folks. You may need tissues. And get your own internal BS meter turned on and tuned in while you listen to what I read from her writing here. See if yours starts pegging and continuously pegs. It's called The Heartbreak of Raising a Black Daughter in a Red State. It begins nearly 2 years ago. I moved with my daughter, who was then 7, from Yonkers to a small town in Pennsylvania. It's minutes outside of New Jersey, but right in the heart of Donald Trump's America. 61% of the people in my county voted for him. Drive through most communities in my town and you'll still see large blue Trump campaign signs on perfectly manicured lawns. There's your first sign. Perfectly manicured lawns. That's kind of a classist statement. See all these white people in their perfectly manicured lawns who voted for Trump and hate black people. She's painting a picture for you. Now remember, this is Pennsylvania, northern Pennsylvania, right up by New Jersey, the People's Republic, or is it the People's Socialist Republic of New Jersey? I think that's the new official title. Should be, but Shanita Hubbard writes, chances are you'll spot at least 2 newer model pickup trucks with Confederate flag license plate frames. Now, Pennsylvania is not a southern state, and the further north you go, the less southern you get. I bet that's all BS, frankly. And I don't know what a license plate frame is. I guess it's you buy the frame and then you put the around the license plate. Now, I've seen license plates with Confederate flags, but I haven't seen a frame. Regardless, the chances of seeing, as she writes, drive through most communities in my town and you'll still see these pickup trucks with Confederate flag license plate frames. As I, she continues, a black woman, move through my daily routine, I exchange nonverbal social pleasantries with my neighbors, gestures that are calculated to avoid the kind of actual conversation that could quickly become uncomfortable. Now, what she's saying there Yeah, you go out to the car in the morning, go to the store to AC, and hey, how you doing? Nice to see you again. Hey, your flower's looking good over there. Thanks. Your lawn looks great. It looks perfectly manicured. I love that blue Trump sign, by the way. That's the kind of pleasant. You just, you know, chat with your neighbors a little bit. Everyone does it. It's not done to avoid anything, as this woman's delusional mind believes. It's not done to avoid conversations that could quickly become uncomfortable. No, it's meant just to be civil and nice and neighborly. But of course, to this woman who seems to have racial obsession syndrome, everything's got to be racial. Everything. She continues a quick nod, a small smile, but all the unspoken words that haunt my interactions in stores and on sidewalks. See, those unspoken words, again, the figment of her imagination at work here. Her imagination dreaming up stuff that isn't real. Her neighbor says, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. And what do you hear? In her mind, she hears, well, a normal person hears, hi, how you doing? Nice to see you. What her demented mind hears is, oh, you don't like me because I'm black. How pathetic. What a pathetic way to go through life. She continues, raising a brown girl in a solidly red area of a red state has given me a front view of the way the current political climate is affecting young children. First place, I think it's pathetic that you refer to your child, your flesh and blood, as a brown girl. Maybe there's that racial obsession syndrome again. All that matters about your little girl is her skin color. That's sick. Okay, let's just say it. That is sick. You've got issues, Shanita Hubbard. But let's continue. In the past few months, it seems, there is a new, sad, pithy hashtag trending every week or so. A white person calling the police on a black family barbecuing. A black boy mowing a lawn, or a little black girl selling bottled water. So us white folks, we're calling the cops on every black person we see. That's what she's saying. She names three isolated incidents. I think the barbecuing happened in Oakland, California. The little girl selling bottled water, some woman's called the police on her for selling unlicensed water. A little junior status brown shirt out there trying to control a kid selling bottled water. And I know nothing about the person mowing the lawn. But basically, these are busybody little people. They exist in the world. And they've got to control everything. And everything bothers them. And they want to nitpick everyone else's life. They're control freaks. They're idiots. Just tell them to shut up or piss off, as far as I'm concerned. But Shanita Hubbard sees something more sinister, because racial obsession syndrome. The interactions are dangerous, she writes, and also send a dangerously dangerous message, she should have written, because she's obviously keys in on the dangerously dangerous danger of racial interactions today in Trump's America. I tell you, this woman needs help. There are people, she believes, this is a message to children, in these words, these incidents. That's the message I worry my daughter will get. And that message is what? There are people who believe you don't belong here. That's the message she worries her daughter gets every time they drive to school behind a car with a Confederate flag bumper sticker. Now it's bumper stickers. It was frames for license plate. Now it's bumper stickers. And I bet you don't see a lot of Confederate flag bumper stickers in northern Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. I think you're lying. I think you're making it up. Maybe you're imagining. And worse, she said. Worse when she's with her classmates and I'm not there to protect her. Maybe you mean you're not there to indoctrinate her with the venomous hatred that you feel for so many Americans just because you can't get over your skin color. And that's everything about your identity. That's the problem with identity politics. It consumes people's minds and their very souls sometimes and turns them into gibbering, jabbering idiots who see race in everything. People that can't order, make a ham sandwich, order a cheeseburger without seeing something racial in the freaking experience. But Shanita Hubbard continues. When she's feeling particularly optimistic, she writes, I imagine that these kids must have been busy playing out of earshot when Mr. Trump's calling African nations shithole countries. To be clear, he also called Haiti a shithole country. Haiti's not in Africa. And to be clear, a lot of the countries he mentions are shitholes. The people there are victimized every day by shithole governments and shithole living conditions. And people like you and your leftist ideology helps to create shitholes. Venezuela has become a shithole because of leftism, Shanita Hubbard. The same leftism that has poisoned your mind with identity politics. And your constant, incessant need to be a victim. It's like leftists only feel really complete when they can pretend they're a victim. That's sad. She continues, I try to convince myself that if their parents are defending a man who referred to neo-Nazis as fine people, stop right there. That is a complete, unadulterated lie. Completely, completely false. He never said any such thing. He said, if you remember Charlottesville, Virginia, there were people protesting. There were shithole people. On both sides, yes, there were. There were leftist thugs with their little sticks and clubs and wannabe badasses. And there were people on the right. And again, if they'd have killed every one of, if every hardcore leftist with a stick and a shield and every white nationalist on the, if they'd have killed each other, I would not have shed one damn tear. Okay? Less trash in America. That's me wiping my hands of these people. But there were people that are actually protesting on both sides to take down the monument to Lee or to keep it up, who were indeed fine people who disagreed. The thugs on both sides who clashed, who fought. I remember the media. I never forget this image. I saw it several times. Some talking head on CNN or MSNBC would be talking about how ridiculous it was. This was not both sides. Two sides were. No, it was not both sides. While behind them, on the screen behind them, they're showing clashes of people beating each other with sticks. I don't think people on the same side were attacking their own side. It was two sides of thugs, the Antifa thugs and the white nationalist thugs. Trash versus trash, scum versus scum, vermin versus vermin. That's what people like Shanita Hubbard don't get. And the narrative that was pushed, when Trump referred to fine people on both sides, at those people who were legitimately protesting weren't violent, who weren't doing despicable, horrible things. That's who he referred to. But the media, of course, lied about its words, and people like Shanita Hubbard aren't bright enough to be able to figure out how to do a little research, figure out what he actually said and put it in context. Because she's a leftist, and leftists don't like context or reality. She continues, I hold out a glimmer of hope that any praise for the Muslim ban, again, stop, no Muslim ban. If you want to do a Muslim ban, the first thing you do as president would be what? You'd ban anyone coming in from Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim nation. But there is no Indonesia. There's no Iraq on it anymore. It's a handful of nations where a lot of terrorists come from. It's a ban against terrorists until we can vet people properly from those areas. Facts matter, Shanita Hubbard. Facts matter. She continues, I assure myself that no mother or father would tell a child that migrant kids from Mexico deserve to be separated from their parents and detained because they are, quote, illegal. Does this woman say anything that's true? Is her whole existence based on making up stuff to create victims where there are none and to ignore victims where there are? The left always ignores the victims in Venezuela and all the communist countries and then invents victims where there are none. Places like America and Israel. Good Western nations that actually give people human rights. Those nations are demonized. The West is demonized by these leftists. But yeah, totalitarians, excuse, oh, they're trying in Venezuela. It's wonderful. It's socialism. It works. Let's look at Venezuela. Everyone's equal, standing in line, starving, and can't afford toilet paper or anything else. That's wonderful because it's equality, and equality is wonderful. You know what equality leads to? Chanita Hubbard, shithole countries. And by the way, the children being separated from their parents is not a Trump policy. It predates Trump. And it's done because there was a whole loophole there. If you came to America and said you were seeking asylum, you wouldn't be questioned. You'd be let in. It's because Obama allowed all those thousands of children without their parents to come here. Whose parents did that to those kids? What kind of parent brings their kid to a country and knows they will be separated if they get caught entering illegally? That's a pretty lousy parent, in my opinion. But that's reality, and Chanita Hubbard doesn't want to live in reality. Yet we continue with her words. She writes, "I am consistently jolted back to reality, and not just by evidence on the internet. Like a video that surfaced of two white parents teaching children to be patriotic by vandalizing a mosque." I saw this video, I looked it up, and wow. Interesting, one of the white parents had a last name that was Hispanic, so I'm not sure if she's white or not. But this is just pathetic. I mean, why would you teach your kids this really nasty thing she was teaching her kids, and or these mothers were. And again, that's how many people can you find that do that? You can look through a sock with 5,000 or drawer with 5,000 black socks in it till you find the one white one, and they go, "See, they're all white." And that's what Chanita Hubbard and the left does. They cherry pick things, take things out of context, and use certain examples to say, "See, it's like we say," when it's really not. Most people are disgusted by what those two women did. You can find the video on Facebook. I'm not going to bother to tell you where. Who cares? Two idiots. Hell, maybe they're doing it for publicity. I don't know. It's YouTube. But she continues, "My reminders come in the form of my daughter's answer to, 'How was your school today?'" Here's a bit of a clue, a bit of a hint. There's another lie coming up. See if you can spot it. One recent afternoon, she reported that two girls she considered friends could no longer play with her because she's brown. Now, little kids can do stupid things and do really cruel and mean things. A lot of times not on purpose. A lot of times little kids are just unfiltered. They're going to say what the heck's on their mind. But I find it hard. This is like a scene from a movie that someone made pretending this is America. It seems like this woman, Chanita Hubbard, just keeps bringing these out. She writes, her daughter, who's 8, now, has been called the maid by her white classmates. Okay, maybe she was. What was the context? Maybe they were playing a game about like that. My niece is 8. She plays games. Little talk to toy, she calls it, with me. It involves lions and horses fighting each other in a dollhouse. She's a kid. Right? The imagination. It's a wonderful thing. And certainly these animals play different roles. They're shopkeepers. They're doctors, they're police. She makes them into all kind of things. Maybe the kids were doing that, I don't know. Or maybe the little girls were just being mean little shits, I don't know. Maybe that did happen. But heed the words of Shanita Hubbard. She continues, even more devastating in some ways is when she absorbs the attitudes the other kids seem to have learned from their parents. The other day, she asked me why Mexicans are so dangerous. I had to calm the tremor in my voice before I could correct her. Well, I don't know of anyone who said, I'm sure someone has said it, Mexicans are dangerous. Mexicans are people. Some people of any race, religion, creed, color, ethnicity, whatever, are dangerous. Most others are not. But again, this is to push the narrative that Trump called all Mexicans dangerous, which he never has, or called them all rapists, which he never has. These are leftist lies that the media kind of allows to go on instead of reporting facts. Instead of the media saying, here's what Trump said, and putting the actual quote there in context, they'll use a little tidbit. Then they'll bring the talking heads on. And the talking heads generally involve far-wing leftist hacks. They're going to lie through their teeth anyway. And Republican surrender monkeys who don't have any real testicular fortitude to call the media out. See, that's why the media hates Trump. He will call them out. You know what? I give you a hint. If I were president, they'd hate me more than they hate Trump. Because I would call them out, and I'd be far more eloquent than Trump. Trump's not an eloquent guy. He's not. But he's effective, as the economy of the United States shows, as our decimation of ISIS shows, as many of his policies have worked. And the more they work, the more it seems the left rails against them. Maybe that tells you something a lot more about the left than it does about Trump. Shanita Hubbard continues that she's well aware the bigots weren't invented on Mr. Trump's inauguration day. And I know that these experiences could occur in any state at any time, and especially in your mind. But, she continues, I would be naive to believe that living through a time when racism is spewing from the lips of the President of the United States. One racist quote from Trump. One. I bet you can't find it, Hubbard. Now, in the mind of the left, of course, because everything a Republican, or especially a conservative, says is racist. Now, Shanita Hubbard, if you really want to know where she's coming from, she quotes the Southern Poverty Law Center, which reported that a wave of incidents of bullying and other kinds of harassment washed over the nation's K-12 schools. The organization called it the Trump effect. They also probably made it up, because the Southern Poverty Law Center has become, for whatever its roots are, which I've never really researched, so I won't comment on, it is or has become a far-left attack dog, which basically goes against anybody who is not uber-liberal, and assails them and calls them hate mongers and bigots. Shanita Hubbard continues, she's worried. She's worried that kids with same-sex parents are subjected to similar, if I could talk, it'd be helpful, similar ridicule. I think about the children who are immigrants, and I can't imagine what they hear from their classmates when they are out of earshot of teachers. Well, most of them just probably hear you want to play. See, this wave of hatred that comes from Trump and Trump supporters, or people like me who didn't really support Trump, but just thought he was a lot better than Hillary would be, is non-existent. Hubbard continues, I know that even children who do not come from homes with parents who parrot racist messages can be affected by messages that have become more mainstream. That's why white parents who are attempting to raise their children to respect people from different backgrounds and condemn bigotry when they see it need to have carefully guided conversation with them. What she means is you need to indoctrinate your children into being a victim and thinking that everybody who voted for Trump's a racist Everyone who disagrees with you politically is evil and racist and back ass words. The National Association of Independent Schools, I've never heard of it either, advises that when white parents avoid helping younger children understand how to talk about race and racism, it can affect the children's ability to have effective and productive conversations about race as an adult. In other words, indoctrinate your children earlier to obsess over their identity, in this case, their race, and to tie every experience in life, especially the negative ones, to their race. And blame everyone else if you have a problem, or if someone that looks like you has a problem. Indoctrinate them early and they will be good little socialist folks. It also perpetuates, Hubbard goes on, the harmful notion that race is just another topic that nice people avoid. I've never believed or heard anyone say that nice people avoid that. Again, you're making stuff up. You're not a very good liar, Hubbard. In an ideal world, she rolls on, I would have waited until my daughter no longer believed in Santa Claus. What? Santa Claus isn't real? Son of a bitch. That's it. You mean he didn't get me that Best Buy gift card last... Damn it. I can't believe Santa's not real. Just kidding, folks. But again... Well, my daughter no longer believed in Santa Claus before I had to have the talk with her. The talk is a conversation that black people have when they inform their children that there are people in our society who would rather see us die than thrive because we are a different color. Yes, those people are out there, but they're kind of like a very, very tiny, tiny pimple on the ass of America. They're really not important. And they're really very, very, very few. When you have a talk with your kids and indoctrinate them that people, a large number, want to see them die, that's poisonous. That's venom you're pumping into your own child, Shanita Hubbard. You're abusing your daughter by doing what you're doing. Hubbard continues, raising a brown girl again. Why can't you say your daughter? Why are you so obsessed with your daughter's skin color? Identity politics. It really, really sucks. It really is venom. It really is venomous, and we're seeing the effects in this country. It means being vigilant against the psychological damage of having my daughter internalize the feelings of inferiority that can occur when her peers imply that she is less than them. Oh, good Lord. Let's use a lot of big words and say it in a way, let's write it in a kind of cool fashion that sounds really eloquent, even though what we're saying is pure malarkey. Again, you expect things to happen negatively to your daughter, and you're passing that on to her. That's sick. Stop. Let your daughter grow up and judge people on how they behave instead of what they look like. The racist here, Shanita Hubbard, there is racism, as I said earlier. The racists are people like you who pretend to be victims. Hubbard concludes, I have to do all of this while working to ensure that my daughter knows she's not inferior to anyone. That's a funny way to do it, by telling your daughter she's a victim all the time. You know, nothing really passes on the idea that you're inferior more than telling someone they're a victim. You're a victim, you're a victim. You're not inferior, but you're a victim. They're out to get you, out to get you. Oh my God, race, racism, classism, sexism, thisism, thatism. You're a victim, but you're not inferior. You need help, Shanita Hubbard. That she doesn't become hateful, and that she never treats anyone differently based on anything other than character. Huh. Well, your whole screed has based nothing on character, completely on what people look like, Shanita Hubbard. How can you teach your daughter a lesson when you're living the opposite of that lesson? Hubbard wraps up with this. I try daily to paint a picture for her of the people and attitudes that exist outside her school and outside our red state. But right now, this is a place she calls home. Now, the problem is, she wants her daughter to judge people on their character, but the way she talks about her state that she lives in now, Pennsylvania, and the people that live there, how can her daughter get any other idea but that these people are backwards, idiots, racist, hateful, don't like her? If you want your daughter to judge people by their character, stop poisoning her mind, Miss Hubbard. And again, she is an adjunct professor of criminal justice, more like social justice, at Northampton Community College in Pennsylvania. The New York Times printed this on July 21st, my friends. Very sad to see, frankly. Very sad to hear. This is what's poisoning the minds of a lot of these snowflakes on college campuses. Guilt, blame, shame. The idea is to crush individualism. Everything must be collectivism. Everything must be identity. Your identity is your everything. You are your identity. You owe it to your identity to think certain ways, say certain things, believe certain things, and disbelieve other things. You're taught now, many kids are, that their identity demands of them that they not only wrap everything in their life around their identity, they must hate anybody who's different than them or doesn't agree with them on everything. You want to know who's divisive, who's racist, who's hateful? People like Shanita Hubbard. That's who. And that's it for me, folks. I've had enough from mocking leftists for one day. I'm going to the grocery store now. Seems that dog food I buy for my dogs, the ungrateful dogs just eat it. Then I have to go buy more. Thank you, my friends. I appreciate all your support. I appreciate the 9 million plus hits, moving toward 10 million on the blog. If you're left, you just ain't right. Go Gators. God bless every one of you. Pray for Shanita Hubbard, folks, another racially obsessed leftist like her. I will talk to you next time. Goodbye. And yes, as always, if I didn't say it first, I'll say it now. Go Gators.